Welcome to the Tiny Morbid Fantasies podcast with your hosts, Andrea and Sophia.
This is a podcast of short stories based on our everyday tiny morbid thoughts.
Thanks for joining us for episode 14.
Oh yeah, if it's your first time, welcome. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back.
Tiny Morbid Fantasies is now available on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. All right, so as we do for every episode, we start off with a little bit of positivity. And today I have, surprise, Earl Grey.
What?
But it's Earl Grey with a rooibos base. So it's like a red tea and it's herbal, so there's no caffeine in it. And It's really delicious. It's from Cook's Corner in Smithville, New Jersey.
I like that most of your teas for right now have been coming from New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for the most part, I try to support local stuff, and
it's nice.
Yeah. And this is like a nice little day trip. You're going to hear a lot from this company because I bought like 4 bags of different Earl Greys. Because Earl, if you Grey couldn't tell, we counted yesterday. I have 17 different Earl Greys downstairs.
That's not 17. Normal.
I like what I like.
That's fine.
I like what I like.
Exactly. So, not to shame you, because I come over and I drink it all the time.
And you say it's good. So how is this Earl Grey rooibos tea?
So this is mixed with a red tea.
Mm-hmm.
It's fruity and floral, so mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, it's a little sweeter than a black tea would be. But there's no caffeine in it. I mean, not that you're worried about caffeine content, but...
No, absolutely. I've already had 2 cups of coffee today, so yeah. The tea's always just a nice...
Round out.
Palate cleanser.
Yeah, so your story this week...
Oh, yes. This is going to be Off We Go, which is a story that I did share with the Smile Syndicate podcast. They actually read it on theirs, and they read an abridged... I don't know if that's the word I want to use. Abridged?
Shortened.
They read a shortened version of the story.
Condensed.
Because of... For time constraints. For time reasons.
Yeah.
So this is actually going to be the full story of Off We Go, which I think they called it Ryan's story. So if you've ever listened to them, I'll probably put their link in the description, since they were actually... Granted, it was my story. They put it out there first, which was nice of them to do.
Yeah. Good people.
So, yeah.
Super Canadian. I love their accents.
And yeah, if you like fun, good times and music, do it up. Do it up.
So, off we go.
Okay, so this is Off We Go. You ready?
Yes.
I'm ready. It's early summer. Most families went to somewhere tropical. But not Ryan's family. They always stayed in town. It's the best time to get stuff done, his dad would always say. That never made much sense to Ryan. You can get stuff done all year round. His mother would always tell him to go outside, be with nature, make friends with the squirrels. Ryan believes she means to make new friends. Ryan decides to take a walk into town. As he passed by the homes, he would look into the backyards. Maybe there'll be some kids around his own age playing outside. Yard after yard lay empty. He's almost downtown when he decides to take the shortcut through the woods. It's a charming winding path used by most of the town folk. Even though he's lonely, Ryan is enjoying his walk. It is, after all, a beautiful day. He begins to hum his favorite song as he strolls. Then he picks up a few rocks and starts throwing them into the woods. There's a large oak tree he tries to hit. After tossing the last rock, he hears a strange noise. It came from a bush a few feet off the path. Cautiously, he steps off the path. There it is again. It was a pitiful sounding meow. Ryan hunched over to get a better look. There it is again, a little louder now. He gets down on his knees. Inside the bush, there was a large pair of opalescent eyes staring back at him. They seemed almost otherworldly. Without thinking, Ryan reaches out his open hand. The large eyes move a little closer. He can now make out 2 impossibly long, pointy ears and a coal black nose. The cat steps out of the bush and sniffs his hand. It blinked slowly and stared intently into his eyes. Ryan smiled. The cat smiled back. It suddenly jumped back on its haunches and released a cloud of smoke from its mouth. Ryan's entire body went limp. His eyes kept trying to focus, but to no avail. As everything started to go black, he could have sworn he heard the cat let out a deep, dark laugh. Ryan wakes, feeling quite refreshed. He sits up and stretches, his arms out wide. As he lets out a big yawn, he glances across the room to see the cat sitting at a desk. It was looking at a large computer screen and typing very quickly. Plus, it was now wearing clothes. If he wasn't so scared, he would have found the sight of a cat in trousers hilarious. Ryan got out of bed and peered out the nearby window. There was a stone wall covered in luminescent liquid. It lit the entire area and gave it a soft green glow. At this moment, the cat noticed Ryan was awake. "Good morning, Ryan," his deep voice resonated throughout the room. "I'm Captain Adelio." He made his way over to the window and jumped onto the window ledge. Ryan took a step back and put his hands up, ready to fight. "Where am I?" he asked. "No need for that, boy." Captain Adele pulled a small device out of his pocket, and a bright light scanned Ryan's body. "We are in my lab, inside the caves of Leora. My scanner tells me your body has acclimated pretty well to the little trip we took." Ryan, feeling suddenly lightheaded, goes back to the bed and sits down. "Why on Earth would you take me to a cave?" "Funny you should mention Earth. We are a short ways away from there, and my apologies for putting you to sleep. Typically, your kind doesn't react too well to my species if we just stand up and start talking to you." Captain chuckled as he approached the bed. "You humans are intelligent, but aren't quite open to other species being intelligent as well." Ryan realized he may have seemed a bit brutish. "Sorry," he said sheepishly. "Quite all right. Now, I brought you here to see if your body is ready for the task in hand. You're a bit younger than your father was, but who knows? Advances made in hormone technology change your human growth cycles." "My father? What is happening? Human growth cycles? I don't want to be part of some sort of alien experiments. Please don't probe me." Captain Adelio, now completely bent over with laughter, sits on the bed next to Ryan. "Ah, you humans and probing. We literally never do that. You humans invented that. Anyhow, your family for generations has fought and ruled alongside us. It was a commitment made hundreds of years ago. Your father has done it, like his father before him, and so on." The captain pulls out another device. This one projects an image against the far wall. It's a collage of photos. He recognizes his father and grandfather. "We received word that an uprising may be in the works. We want to stop it before it starts, and we need your help to do it. We have to present a united front. The only issue is your body may not have reached full maturity. There are naturally occurring pathogens in our air, water, and food that could easily kill you. I don't want to put you in immediate danger, so I brought you here for testing." Ryan is trying to make sense of it all. This is clearly something bigger than himself, but his father never mentioned it. No one in his entire family has ever mentioned it. This could explain why they never leave the small town. However, he's just a kid. Why would a task of great importance be placed on a kid? "What do you need me to do exactly?" "At this point, we just need you to step outside and breathe. After that, we will move on to test the food and water." "No, I mean to stop the uprising." "That part is a little trickier. You see, there are a small few who believe our alliance with the humans is wrong. They want to break the alliance and cleanse the land of humans. Our coexistence is crucial to the betterment of both of our worlds. We share tech, food, medicines, and so much more." Captain Adelio walks over to the door. "We have a long road ahead. Step one is to have you walk outside. Then we'll go from there." Ryan walks slowly to the door. It leads directly into the luminescent cave. "I thought you said the air would kill me." "Yes, on the surface. Underground, it is far less toxic. It's time to go." Ryan steps through the doorway into the cave. The air was cool and smelled sweet like a bakery. He took 3 steps in and turned to the captain. As he turned, everything began to get blurry, as it did back on Earth. He couldn't keep his focus. He saw a look of panic on the captain's face. Again, Ryan collapsed. Ryan awoke this time in his own bed. He ran to the window and saw he was indeed back on Earth. It was nighttime at this point. How long was I gone, he wondered. He rushed downstairs to find his parents getting the table set for dinner. "Dad, I met Captain Adelio. Why didn't you tell me about him in your time helping save the kingdom?" His father looked up with a confused expression. "Son, you've got quite the imagination. Sounds like one heck of a dream, though." "It wasn't a dream. He showed me pictures and ran tests." His mother walked up and put her hand on his shoulders. "No more talk about your crazy dreams at the dinner table, dear." Her face looked exceedingly worried. "Okay, Mom. It was just a dream. So real, I thought it was true." After dinner, Ryan went back to his bedroom. On his nightstand, he found a note and a small device just like the one Captain Adelio had. The note read, "Ryan, you passed out, therefore I returned you home. I made sure you were in good health before sending you back. Please do not share anything that has happened. It could put both of our worlds in jeopardy. We will try again in a few Earth years. This small device acts as a beacon so we can find you. Until then, stay safe." Ryan put the note in his nightstand with the device and never spoke of it again. The end. We did it.
Aww. Ryan, you should have read the note by your bedside before you told your parents.
But it's fine. They already knew, but they were like, "What the fuck are you doing, kid?" "It's like Fight Club. We're not supposed to talk about it. There could be spies."
"We don't talk about these things here."
So that was the story of Ryan.
We made it.
That was the start of his adventure. Kind of the start and the end of his adventure, but there's room for more to take place because there's a lot of history between, obviously, him and the caves.
And Captain Adelio's species.
Yes. So
that's really cool.
I'll get more into that. So there's more to this story, which I'll add in the future. This is like the setup. This is the prequel. And a lot of the stories I write are setups for like bigger stories. I'm really good at writing the setups. This story was based off of that time you walked your dog and heard a cat meow in the bushes.
Oh, that's a good tiny morbid fact.
So, yeah, tiny morbid fact. This story is based off of the time Tiny Morbid Sophia was walking her dog and heard a cat meowing in the bushes. And I just kind of took it from there.
I tried to rescue that cat for hours. I think it was a bird that was making weird sounds.
Because I tried to find that cat for hours, and it might have been a bird.
Well, it was making, like, meow. I don't know. I was far enough away where it just didn't make sense. And if I think about it too hard, then the cat may have died in that weird patch of forest.
It could have been, like, a raccoon or something. Squirrels make weird noises, too, so.
That's true. It could have been anything.
Lots of woodland creatures.
I'm glad that inspired you. Aw, I inspire you.
Yep. You're welcome.
Anyway.
So if you like that story, please check us out on Twitter at Tiny Morbid or on Instagram and Reddit at Tiny Morbid Fantasies.
Ooh, and now on our Facebook.
Oh, yeah, and join our Facebook. We have one.
Yeah.
It's Tiny Morbid Fantasies.
It's our name.
And we're going to start putting content there as well that you can't find anywhere else.
Yeah. To be featured in upcoming episodes, send your stories to tinymorbidfantasies@gmail.com.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send those too.
Till next time.
Keep it spooky.
Like a lost soul in an old abandoned building who's awoken by teenagers looking for a place to do drugs and have sex.
I like that you put your own inflection on it.
Thank you.
Good job. Thanks.